Thank you, Jeff, very much. The books are only $10, but for this special conference, if you mention the name Jeff Kroll, you can get one for $10. Wow. Funniest story about that is you can buy the, you can find it on Amazon in the used section too, and there's also collectible on Amazon. And the collectible ones are signed by the author, and they're only $8. So I love that. If you want a signed copy, I know the author, and I'd be happy to sign one for you. Corey, thank you for sharing about your ministry. And I love the hopefulness in what you said. Because of the gospel, God's at work on the campus. It seems crazy world out here, crazy campus, but God is at work. My verse this last year has been John 16:33, for my own heart. Jesus said these things so that in you, in me, you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I hear that coming out of your heart tonight. I will disagree with one thing you said. I understand this phrase, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But I understand if you teach a man to fish, he'll always be at the lake, is the answer to that one. Am I right about that? All right. Here is where we're going to start tonight. The subject tonight is gossip, and this is my favorite piece of art about gossip. Is it familiar to you? Who's the artist? Norman Rockwell. This graced the cover of the Saturday Evening Post on March 6th, 1948. My mom loves Norman Rockwell, and when I was growing up, our home was filled with pieces like this one, and this was one of my favorites. The Gossips is the title. What many people don't know is that Norman Rockwell used real people, his honest-to-goodness neighbors in Arlington, Vermont, as his models for many of his paintings, including this one. I love their faces, don't you? So much detail. You know these were real people. And from what I understand, Rockwell himself shows up in this one. He's the subject of the story. I love how this painting tells a story from left to right and top to bottom. You see how the woman tells her friend a story about someone else. She tells her friend who tells her friend who tells her friend, and they all laugh about it along the way until it gets back to the subject of the gossip, which I guess was Norman Rockwell himself. And he's not so happy to be the punchline of the joke, so he confronts the original lady with his finger in her face. And as I understand it, the real lady, his neighbor, was not too happy with her portrayal in the painting. That puts a twist on it, doesn't it? Rockwell's painting has recently been updated for today by Jesse Rubenfeld with the Muppets. And of course, Miss Piggy, she doesn't just stick her finger in Kermit's face, she wallops him one. Haven't we all been in one of those positions at one time or another? The speaker, the listeners, the laughing listeners, the not-so-laughing subject of the gossip. Some of these positions are more fun to be in than others. Norman Rockwell's painting seems like pretty harmless fun. But gossip, at least sinful gossip, what the Bible's talking about, is not harmless. It's harmful. It's dangerous. It's evil. It's really, as we're saying tonight, bad words. So with the people around you, right next to you, I want you to rate this sin on a sin scale. Okay, we know that there is no sin scale, right? But if you were to put it on a sin scale of kind of 1 to 10, where would you put it and why? Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. You're not talking to your neighbors. On a scale of 1 to 10, and why? Now, you know, I wrote a book called Resisting Gossip, so it's going to go pretty high on my list. Where do you think it falls on the Apostle Paul's? In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says that being a gossip makes it onto a sin list with, quote, every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity, end quote. And gossip makes the list between, in his sentence, murder and God-hating. And Paul ends this section by saying, those who do such things as gossip deserve death. It's not a three on the sin scale. Sinful gossip is not just a fun little neutral thing. As the Apostle James would say, like we learned last night, it's playing with fire. And it can be dangerous for a local church like Faith Evangelical Free Church. Or put it this way, loose lips sink fellowships. So in this message tonight, I want to talk about winning that war of the wagging tongue. And what is the first rule of war? Know your enemy. What exactly is gossip? If we're going to resist gossip, we need to have a pretty good definition in our minds. How do you recognize gossip? You know, that's actually not such an easy question to answer. One of the reasons why I did my doctoral work on gossip and why it became the topic of my book was because I wasn't exactly sure what was gossip and what wasn't. I knew that it was bad and it hurt people and I didn't like it when people did it about me, but I wasn't sure how you know. When is it just small talk and when is it sinful talk? We are regularly confronted with the question, should I be saying this? Should I be sharing this? Should I be listening to this? Well, what makes it wrong? Is it when it's said? Or is it who says it? Or is it to whom it's told? I mean, it's okay if you're just telling your mom, right? Or your sister, or your pastor. The hardest part about recognizing gossip is it doesn't come with a warning label. Wouldn't it be great if this sign would flash across the heads of people that you're talking with? Warning. The contents of the next conversation contain sinful gossip. Use extreme caution. Now, I'm not sure I'd like that, because sometimes it might show up over my own head. But that's not what happens anyway, is it? No, normally there you are just minding your own business, and this juicy piece of news about someone else just comes right across and asks you to swallow it. If you have your Bibles with you, turn or swipe to Proverbs 26, 22. Turn or swipe to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22, or you could go to Proverbs 18, 8. This one is in there twice. God thought it was so important that he repeated himself. Proverbs 26, 22 says this, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." Let's pray one more time together as we begin to meditate on God's holy word. Thank you, Lord, for what we've sung tonight. Thank you for what we've eaten tonight. It was delicious. I went to all three tables. You're so creative, Lord, in creating different parts of the world and different cultures and different tastes and textures and smells. We worship you for how great you are. You're a global God. You're not just the God of North America. You're the God over the whole earth. And you want people, you are calling people to yourself from every tribe and tongue and nation. We've heard just a piece of that at this conference. Iran. Thank you, Lord, for saving people from Iran. And thank you for saving us and calling us to yourself and making us a holy people, remaking us into a holy people. Would you do that a little bit more tonight? Would you sanctify us by the truth? Your word is truth. We're asking you, Lord, not because we deserve it, because we certainly don't, but because we need it. And because you're a gracious God who loves to give good gifts to your people. Please speak to our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Choice morsels. Or the English Standard Version has delicious morsels. Or the New American Standard Bible has dainty morsels. These are those things that you want to swallow up greedily. They are the best, most addictive things to eat. They're like a bag of salty chips put on the kitchen counter. What happens if mom puts some Doritos or substitute your favorite snack there on a bowl in the counter in the afternoon? They're gone. That's right. They're gone, right? They don't even get eaten. They're just gone. Like that. My wife has gotten wise to this and now puts out a bowl of apples or carrots. And they're gone before supper. But let's say that it's Doritos. What happens if you personally come upon that bag on the counter and you eat the whole bag before supper? Right? The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. You feel it right here. My grandmother used to say, once across the lips, always on the hips. Right? And I'm not kidding when I told the Lord, I went to all three tables tonight. I was hoping, Corey, you'd go a little bit longer because I was in a little food coma over here on the front pew. Wow. Amazing food tonight. Gossip tastes great, but it will poison your heart. Now again, what is gossip? Here's my definition, which systematizes all the biblical data I could find. Sinful gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. You can tell I'm a preacher, right? There may or may not be a poem at the end of this. You can see that this definition has three parts to it. Bearing bad news, behind someone's back, out of a bad heart. Let's go through those one at a time. Bearing bad news. Gossip is a talking thing. I know that's obvious, but stick with me. Verse 22 says, the words of a gossip. Gossip is sharing. It's communicating. It's a talking thing. Now that goes both ways. Sinful gossip is both talking and listening to this kind of bad news. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. So gossip is often sharing someone else's secret, betraying their confidence. Have you ever done that? Told someone else's secret, wasn't your secret to share? Have you ever had it done to you? Someone told your secret? Kind of a personal WikiLeaks? How's that feel? It's talking. Avoid a man who talks too much. But it's not just talking, it's also listening. Proverbs 17:4 says, a wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. The New Living Translation glosses it this way, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. So sometimes, even just receiving that juicy piece of gossip without saying something or stopping the conversation is sinful as well, almost as sinful as speaking it. Listening is also bearing the bad news. And of course, this bearing of bad news isn't just talking out loud. You can gossip online, right? I mean, there's this thing called Facebook. Like most things, social media can be used for great good. I use it and love it. But anything that can be used for great good can also be used for great evil, especially if it involves words. So sinful gossip might be pressing the publish button on your blog or the share button on your Facebook page or tweet. Sinful gossip is number one, bearing bad news. Now that news, that story, because it's almost always a story, like what happened to Norman Rockwell, can be bad news in three different ways. Bad information. It might be bad information, meaning that it's false. Now, if you know that it's false, then it's not just gossip, it's also slander. But sharing lies about someone behind their back is gossip. Where's Monica? Monica, are you here tonight? If I told you all that Monica back there killed and then ate her own cat last week, that would be gossip because it's not true. Is it? I hope not. But if it is, you heard it here first, okay? Now that's funny, but you and I can think of a lot of worse lies to pass around about someone. And what would that do to their reputation? Have you ever had your reputation harmed by the bad information that someone spread about you? I have. At one time, I heard through the grapevine of our little community, a rumor was circulating that I had left my wife. Now, that's laughable to anyone who knows us. I wouldn't want to try to live without Heather Joy. But I had no idea who started the rumor or who might have heard it and believed the lie. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends. If you want to stay close to your friends, don't gossip about them. Don't pass on bad information, lies, or something you think may be true but isn't really. Something unverifiable, rumor, hearsay. Here's where it's important to not press share unless you know it to be true from reputable facts, sources. Second way this news could be bad would be bad news about someone, meaning a story about something bad that they have done. And it might be true, but that doesn't mean that you and I need to be talking about it. Let's say that one of your friends recently did something bad and you heard about it. Maybe they were even the one who divulged it to you, disclosed it to you. They committed adultery. They cheated on their income tax. They lied to their boss. They hit their mom, whatever. They did something shameful. They actually did it. Now catch this, listen. You and I don't have to talk about that story with our friends. Let me say it again. You and I don't have to talk about that with our friends. I know that's hard to do. That's why Solomon says the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. That is, they're hard to resist. My wife makes a candy called Buckeyes. I'm originally from Ohio. Don't hate me, okay? They're like a homemade Reese's cup, but better. They're chocolate on the outside, and they're sweet peanut butter on the inside. And you know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, I got some room, right? I could eat one right now. My wife has to lock the cabinet after making them and then dole them out like a dispensary, right? Because I can't say no. If she offers me a Buckeye, I don't care how many platefuls I ate and how full I am, I'll find the room. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Bad news, shameful news, is like that too for you and me. It's addictive, but it's not good for us. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Some foods make us sick to the stomach, but gossip makes us sick to the heart. There's something wrong with us that makes us want to know and talk about the shameful things that other people do. That's why there's reality TV. Some of us have been told that it's not gossip if it's true, but it can be. Gossip can be telling a true story of someone else's shame. A third way that this news might be bad is bad news for someone else, meaning not that they did something shameful themselves, but that something bad is projected to happen to them. In Psalm 41, for example, King David got really sick and his enemies rejoiced and started to gossip about him. So David wrote Psalm 41, verses 5 through 8, my enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it abroad. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Friends, that's gossip too. Has David done something harmful here? Something shameful? No. But his enemies are two-faced. And they come in and they say, oh, poor you, King David. And then they go out and they spread the bad news that he's about to die. Have you ever had this one happen to you? People are saying, he's going to lose his job. He's not going to make the team. She's going to get kicked out of school. Her husband is going to leave her. They're going to lose their home, and so on. Gossip can be bad news that is projected for someone else. So sinful gossip is bearing bad news, number two, behind someone's back. By definition, gossip happens when the person you're talking about is not there. That's one of the things that makes gossip. If you have the New American Standard Bible in front of you, then your translation says here in verse 22, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, a whisperer, a gossip. I was teaching this to some young people once, and a girl raised her hand and she said, "Does that mean we aren't allowed to use our quiet voices? Like in the library?" No, a whisperer, a gossip, is someone who talks about you behind your back. And it's intentional. It's much easier and more interesting to talk about someone who isn't there. So we have to ask ourselves the question, would I say this if he were here? Would I receive this bad news about her in the same way if she were present? And that might show you whether or not it's gossip. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't ever talk about people who aren't present. We certainly can say good things about people who aren't here. Let's turn gossip around and spread good news about people. Yes. And sometimes we have to talk about people who aren't present. And even to share bad things about them. Parents have to do that, right? After the kids go to bed, we homeschool, so we have parent-teacher conference every night. And we talk about the kids. Now, that could turn into gossip. You can't believe what your son did today, right? It could turn into gossip. But parents have to do that. Teachers have to do that. Elders and pastors have to do that. Even friends and teammates and co-workers and neighbors have to do that sometimes. You see, there's a whole biblical category of warning others that we have to do. Someone once told me about a Christian couple he knew who tried really hard to resist gossip. They wouldn't talk about someone who wasn't in the room. Nothing. Not even a positive word. How long do you think that lasted? It doesn't work. Sometimes we have to get some counsel from someone about our problems. And that involves sharing about the shameful things someone else has done without them present. It's not gossip to truly seek out help. But the key, here's the key, is to keep loving the person you're talking about even when you have to talk about them. Even if they are your enemies. It's simply applying the Lord Jesus' golden rule of thumb to a difficult situation. If you have to talk about someone when they're not there, make sure it's a have to, not a want to. If you have to talk about somebody who is not there, make sure you're treating them like you would want to be treated if you were the person that wasn't present. Because sinful gossip is clandestine. It's bearing bad news behind someone's back, number three, out of a bad heart. Because that's where all bad words come from, right? Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12 and Luke 6, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever our hearts are full of is what will come out of our mouths. Last night, I lit some matches as an illustration. Let me give you another illustration with this question. Okay, I want you to watch this illustration, and then I'm going to ask you a very important question. Okay, you ready? Okay. I got your attention. All right. Some of you are like, I like the matches better. All right, here's the question. You ready? Why is there now water on the floor? Because you dumped it out. He's kind of a dummy, isn't he? That's what. Well, let me ask it this way. Why is there not Pepsi or Kool-Aid on the floor? Because then I'd be in major trouble with Pastor Jeff, and he'd get in major trouble with the trustees, right? Fundamentally, why is there water on the floor? Because there was water in the bottle. Out of the what? The overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is the control center of the person. It's the inner you. It's the real you. It's the water bottle, okay? If something bad came out of your mouth, it's because there was something bad inside of you. The heart is the worshiping core of the human being. And it's out of the heart that we live. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. We live out of our hearts. Our hearts are where our motivations form. And I believe that our sinful motivations for speaking or listening is what makes sinful gossip sinful. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The most important thing to know about gossip is from where it comes. It's the why question. Why am I saying this? Why am I attracted to this bad news? Because of something going on right here. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. And we're attracted to those choice morsels because of something already wrong in our inmost parts. So that's where the change has to happen as well. Can you think of some bad motivations? Some icky things going on in your heart that might lead you to gossip, potentially? Talk about it with the people around you. Go ahead. What are some heart motivations? Something driving and running your heart, something you're worshiping, something you want so desperately that would maybe create gossip. Go. It's at the heart level that the change has to happen. In the book, chapter 3, I have a kind of rogues gallery of five different kinds of gossiping people that are motivated by five different twisted heart level desires. There's the spy, who has a lust for power over people and control of information. She might be a teenage girl, or he might be your coworker in the office. There's the grumbler, who's discontented and probably jealous, who want something they don't have, and they gossip about someone who does have it. There's the backstabber, who's motivated by revenge and desiring pain for someone who has hurt them. That's me. Woohoo! All right, true confession tonight. There's the chameleon, who has the fear of man and gossips to fit in. Everybody else is doing it. I'm going to have to put in a little bit myself. And that's me. And there's the busybody, who desperately wants to escape boredom by talking about other people's business. I know that I've been all five of them at one point or another. And I also know it's not that easy to quit. Sometimes when I'm talking about this problem of gossip, it's easy to just say, well, don't do it. Cut it out. Stop it. I had a friend who said, you're writing a book on gossip? That'll be on how to resist gossip? That'll be a short one. Just cut it out, you know? One paragraph. But it's not always that easy, is it? Often, why? Because the battle is at the core level. It's at the heart level. It's at the what's in your heart bottle level. But it is possible to win the battle. The Lord Jesus has made it possible by dying on the cross to save us, and by coming back to life to give us power to live a holy life, and by sending His Spirit to apply His promises to our hearts. So question tonight, what's the state of your heart this evening? Is it centered on Jesus Christ who lived and died and lived again for you? Or is your heart swallowing the icky candy of sinful gossip? The only sure way for us to resist gossip's lure is to have a heart that is full of and worshiping Christ. A heart that's full of Jesus, feasting on His delicious words. A heart, an innermost being that is full of Jesus. So Proverbs 26:22 is just a warning, really. It doesn't tell us how to resist those choice morsels, just that we need to. But when we apply our theology of sanctification, our theology of how we grow, how we change to this problem, we can take the biblically informed definition to recognize gossip, and we can begin to think better about gospel strategies for resisting it, for bearing good news, for being upfront and loving those we talk about and those we talk to, and for having a changed heart that loves God and loves people. It's important to know that it is possible to resist gossip. Let's end tonight with this passage, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and apply it. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. Sounds a lot like the words of a gossip or choice morsels. You're going to get seized. That's normal. You're going to feel like it. You're going to feel like gossiping. You're going to feel like you can't resist. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So in Christ, you can say no. Newsflash, you do not have to gossip. If you're a Christian, you don't have to gossip. But when you are tempted, He'll also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, interesting how He says that, right? There's a way out, so you don't have to do it consistently, so you can stand up under it, which means maybe the temptation won't go away, but you can continually keep getting out from under it and resist the bad words of gossip. Let's pray together. Lord, we need to think about this because it's everywhere. Turn on the television, look on the newsstand counter, the counter at the checkout line. Swipe through my social media feed. Just sit down at the lunch table, and there it is. So we need to be armed to resist this enemy. And it's going to be so tempting. It's going to seize us. Remind us, Lord, that there is a way out of this temptation every time, so we can stand up under it. And the temptation, though it feels strong, we have the resources in Christ to say no every time. In fact, the resources are many and varied. For every different kind of gossip temptation, there's an antidote in the gospel. Thank you for that. Make us wise in this area, Lord. Take a hold of our hearts so that what comes out of our mouths is holy and loving. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.